You're listening to 1007 Riverland Life FM. My name is Scott, and this is Life in the Garden. Well, hello there, Murray. Now, today, this is an exceptional privilege for me because Murray's able to come and join me, and we're sitting here in the studio. Socially distancing, of course. He's on the other side of the table and I'm on this side of the table. We've got our own microphones and we're good to go. So, well, welcome to the studio, Murray. It's a delight to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, it's nice to get into somebody else's studio and have a bit of a look around, but it's also nice to be out in the garden.
Absolutely. Now, I believe you've got a few things to talk to us about today. What's first on your list?
First on the list is the bulbs. Everybody's bulbs are probably now up and a fair few of them are actually coming into flower, and some of the early varieties have actually finished already for the winter season. And then the question is, what do we do with the bulbs now that they've finished flowering? Some people think, oh, they're looking a bit scruffy. First thing I should do is probably prune the heads off of them and tidy them up. Well, that's probably the worst thing you can actually do to a bulb, because this time of the year when the flowers are finished and the bulb is starting to go down is when the bulb actually sets itself up for next year's flowers. Now, to get it set up for next year's flowers, the first thing you should probably do is give it a good fertiliser. Leave the bulb alone after that, give it a drink, and let it die down naturally. Once the leaves have gone totally brown, pull those leaves off, tidy it up, leave the bulb alone in the ground until next year. But yeah, it goes down slowly, and it puts the fertiliser back out of the leaves, back into the bulb, ready for the flowering for next year.
Okay, so that could be a disaster if you mishandle them.
Yes, if you tidy them up too soon, you cut all the leaves off. Well, that's where all the goodness is. It actually needs to go back into the bulb to set it up for next year.
Okay, because some of us just can't help but be tidy.
That's right. Yes, this is one case where you need to be a little bit untidy.
You have to resist.
Have to resist, yes. Yes, pull back, resist, don't do anything. Let the bulbs do the thing once you've fertilised them, give them a drink, and set them in for ready for next year.
Sounds like a great, 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 great plan. Excellent. All right, so that's looking after the bulbs. And now I see you've got a bit of a list there, so what's next on the list?
The other week we actually talked about pruning roses, and we were talking about pruning your ordinary bush roses. Mm-hmm. This time we'll have a bit of a look at pruning our standard roses. Standards are a little like a pom-pom on a three-foot stick.
That's right. What an excellent description, a pom-pom on a three-foot stick.
Yes. You prune these slightly different because you want to retain the pom-pom shape when you actually prune it. So when it's finished being pruned for the season, it's like a little round ball on top of the stick. So you don't end up with a vase shape basically within the top of the pom-pom. But you try and keep the pom-pom to a size that you can manage without it getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. When you first put in your rose, you need to get it out to a decent size, probably of about 30 to 40 centimetre ball if you can, and then try and retain that size ball for the life of the plant. It's fairly hard to do actually, because if you let it get slightly longer each year, give it 10 to 20 years, you've then got a ball that's a metre across and a metre or so high, and that can get probably too big and it could end up pulling the rose over because the top is too big for the stem that it's standing on.
Get a windy day.
Get a windy day and over she comes. And that's the other thing. If you're putting in roses, you probably should put a stake by them. Mm-hmm. Remember, the stakes are only going to probably last 2 or 3 years and then you'll need to replace the stake because they have a tendency to rot off at ground level.
So, they do, yeah.
But prune, normally we say you keep to the strongest stem on each piece that you're cutting off and keep the strong one and prune off the weakest one. Mm-hmm. But to keep your ball shape, sometimes you have to sacrifice the stronger ones to keep some of the smaller ones to keep that little ball shape. So just remember that as you do it, to try and keep it into a little bit of a baller shape without getting out of control and going everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, when you've got yourself a new rose, if you bought one this season or your rose is only 1 or 2 years old, either it's a bush rose or a standard rose, you probably should think about painting the roses.
Painting the roses?
Painting the roses, because as you buy a new rose in the first summer, the wood is usually fairly green and it is very, very subject to sunburn.
Okay.
Now, if you have a look at some of the roses that you may have put in last year and didn't paint them, you will often see the sunburn, which generally shows up as black on the stems, usually the stems that are leaning into the sun of about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And have a bit of a look, and you'll see often see black. Well, if that gets quite bad, it can damage the rose quite severely. Mm-hmm. And especially if you've got a standard rose, it can burn the whole stem of that standard rose, all the 3 foot up that's out of the ground. So all you need to do, once you put your rose in, grab yourself some white or very light-coloured paint. because that reflects the sun more.
Yep.
Give it a good paint with a paint, but the paint must be water-based. You cannot use oil-based paint on a rose or any other thing that you plant.
Sure.
And then after about 2 or 3 years, that paint, as the bark falls off or expands, the paint will basically disappear and you're left with your ordinary stem of your rose. And you can even do that during the summertime. So if you forget wintertime and you go out summertime, you see your rose is starting to burn along the stems.
Yep.
Get the paintbrush out straight away, even though you've got leaves on there. Paint it. You'll paint the odd leaf, but it really won't matter.
No, that won't.
And paint it up. Get it ready for next summer.
So it's water-based paints.
Water-based paint.
Only water-based paints. And by the stem, like you mean the trunk sort of?
I mean the trunk. The 3-foot of trunk before the pom-pom. And you can also paint in the top of the pom-pom.
Yep.
And you can also do it with your bush roses as well. And you've got a little vase shape if you've pruned it sort of correctly. Do the same thing with them because they will burn as well. If you're looking to the middle of those, you'll often see a little burn marks.
And you're talking about white paint or really light coloured paints because if it was a dark or a black or whatever, that would soak up the heat, wouldn't it?
That would soak up the heat. You want to reflect the heat as you can.
You want to reflect the heat.
Yes.
Oh, wow,
yes.
Look after your roses.
Yep.
Paint them.
Paint them, yep. The other thing we were talking about, pruning our roses, whether it's our standards or our bush roses, and a lot of people say, oh, I'm a bit scared and I don't really know what to do.
Sure. It's intimidating.
Can be intimidating, but as I was saying the other day, a prune is better than no prune. But if you want to have a bit of a look how to do it, duck down to your nearest council. They have got, in their gardens, roses generally somewhere in most of our Riverland towns, especially Renmark, which has a lot of roses.
Absolutely.
And Loxton has a lot of roses down the street as well. And I'm sure the other major towns do. Go down and have a look how the council workers have pruned their roses. That will give you a fair idea of how to do it. Have a bit of a look. That'll give you some idea and think, oh, I see what they've sort of done. And you can go home and do the same thing at home.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that. I was just noticing today as I was driving around, Berry and Loxton. I bet there's some of these council workers that know what they're doing when it comes to gardening and gardening for all weather and all that sort of stuff. And lo and behold, there you are, a good source of information to find out just how do you prune your roses.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant.
Go and have a look what somebody else has done and you'll get a fair idea.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not quite sure what to do, copy something that someone that does know what they're doing.
That's the way.
That's the sort of stuff that we need to know for sure. This is Life in the Garden. I'm Scott, and I'll be back with you after the break. You're tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM, and you're listening to Life in the Garden. A garden is always a series of losses set against a few triumphs. It's like life itself. Thank you, Mae Sorton. I'm Scott, and I'm very pleased again to welcome back Di Marshall from the Earthworks in Berry. Good morning again, Di Marshall from the Earthworks in Berry. What a delight to have you on the show again.
Oh, thank you, Scott, and good morning to you.
Now, I was at the nursery a couple of weeks ago, and we looked over in the far corner at the distance, and you had all the fruit trees. These are the bare-rooted and the beautiful roses there.
Yes, we have our standard roses, and they are great for pots and in the garden. And probably the most popular one is the iceberg rose. We sell heaps and heaps of that over any other colour. And it's just a plain white, very simple, but honestly, it flowers nearly all year round. And you can't ask for more. It's so tough and hardy and it looks spectacular. So if you're after roses and you want to make a statement, a real wow feature, a standard rose looks fantastic in the garden.
They do have a wow factor about them, don't they? That's
they
for
do.
Sure.
And especially some of the fragrant ones. It gives you a heady experience, actually, because it's so perfumed.
So they're bringing back roses with aroma now, are they?
Oh, yeah. Look, still you get a lot that aren't scented, but honestly, that's what people are wanting, is a scented rose. Or one useful for cut flowers, either or. And climbers are always very popular if you've got an arch or a pillar or a fence or something like that you want to cover. The climbing roses are gorgeous. You may as well have a rose that smells. Well, that's my belief anyway. I think you're better off with a rose that smells than that has a perfume.
I should say. Yes, we should say has a delightful perfume. That's what we should say.
Yes, that's correct.
No, for sure.
Like that.
Well, I'm going to have to let you go now. And okay. I'm sure you've got a lot to get on with your day.
All right.
Well, thanks again, Di. And we shall chat again in a couple of weeks.
Cheers. Thank you.
Lovely. Okay,
see
bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
This is 1007 Riverland Life FM. My name is Scott, and you are tuned into Life in the Garden. And I'd like to share with you something that Jesus said. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I think Jesus enjoyed a bit of flower power. We will be back on Life in the Garden after this short break. Hi, you're listening to 1007 Riverland Life FM. My name is Scott, and this is Life in the Garden. And again, of course, we are absolutely privileged to have Murray here with us again. And I believe that you have a tip or two for us.
The other thing was somebody said, oh, I'd love to put in more stuff, but my garden is so full, I don't know what to do. I got nowhere else to put it in. Unless I pull something out, I really can't plant anymore. And another way to go is think about, well, let's go up, make our garden 3D.
Okay.
What I've done at home is got myself some old pieces of PVC pipe that are broken. They had a crack in it from top to bottom. So I have cut them into three different sizes, put them in the garden amongst the other plants, planted in the top of those with a dripper in the very, very top. Now I have a 3D garden and I have got more room to plant into the garden.
Now, Murray, you say a PVC pipe, but what would be the diameter of the opening at the top of this PVC pipe?
I can't remember, but it's, if I grabbed the whole pipe, I don't think my arms would go all the way around it.
No, they're huge, aren't they? They're big irrigation ones, aren't they?
They are big irrigation ones, yeah. Main pipes off of an irrigation system.
Yep.
So, yeah, they are brilliant.
So you have to be a little bit resourceful in where you acquire your items for your gardening, but you've got those because they were damaged and they were useless.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Their original purpose.
Yep,
they were
yep.
perfect for what you've done there.
But you don't have to go to the bigger ones that I've got. You can go down to anything from 50 mil up if you wanted to.
Sure,
depending on the size of your garden. And if you've only got a very small garden patch that you're putting them in, you don't need a huge piece of pipe. You can go a much smaller pipe, put them at different heights throughout that patch of the garden.
Sure.
And plant it up like that. Just remember to put a dripper line through that microtubing going up through the base of it with a dripper in the top, and it self-waters basically. Every time you water the garden, it's going to water itself.
It's going to get a bit of water there. Well, if you think of the normal pot plant, you know, they've got all sorts of different size openings at the top, haven't they?
Yes.
So you're sort of limitless in what you can do.
Well, what you can actually do is get yourself some pots, either a different size or all the same size, and stand them within the garden, let the roots eventually go back into the ground, and if you had plastic ones, you could paint them whatever colour you want.
That's true.
If you want to pick a theme.
Yep.
Cut the bottom off a plastic one, put it in the ground, fill it up with potting mix or soil, plant in the top, put a drip in it. You've then got a 3D garden where you've got a lot more room to plant things. And they're also brilliant for any plant that you want to cascade, that will cascade over the side.
That was the word that was on my mind. Perfect for things that would cascade.
Yes, because it shows off them beautifully.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And there's some stunning plants that do that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
So if you're cramped, if you're in town or you just haven't got the space and you want some more room, think of the 3D effect. That's a brilliant concept. And I guess you won't mind if I take a couple of snaps next time I'm out at your place and pop them up on our Facebook page?
Go for it, Scott.
Yeah, for sure. I'll certainly do that. So keep your eyes open for that one. That'll be marvellous. Okay. Thank you again, Murray. I know that you had to be over here in Loxton. You know, there's a reason for everything. We won't go into that, but I'm absolutely delighted that you were able to come in and share this time with us in the studio. Of course, it's always been a delight, and we hope to see you again soon. Or I hope to be back at Cinnamurra and enjoying Murray's garden. What a delight. Thank you again, Murray.
Thanks, Scott.
This is Life in the Garden, and we have come to the conclusion of yet another show. It's been a delight to have you with me, and tune in again next week, 12 on Wednesday, straight after the news, and a backup show, 1 p.m. Saturday, also straight after the news. I'm Scott, and you're listening to 1007 Riverland Life FM.